The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Meta thumbing its nose at the EU.
Yeah, this is something that is not surprising, but I think it is symptomatic of Meta's attitudes and indeed a lot of the American companies' attitudes towards the European Union when it comes to regulating AI. So we've spoken quite a bit about the EU AI Act, which is looking to put guardrails in place when it comes to the tech that's being developed relating to artificial intelligence. And as part of the implementation of this act, there's now the EU's AI code of practice.
It's not obligatory, though, is it?
No, it's a voluntary set of guidelines. And the purpose of it is to help the companies comply with the aspects that are still being rolled out. So things like publishing summaries of the data used to train AI, implementing policies relating to and involving copyright. A lot of the very controversial aspects of this, sort of rule or list of guidelines was put together by a few different experts and companies were asked to sign it. Now, Brad Smith of Microsoft has said that they're likely to sign it. They want to read the finer detail. But Meta, which again is the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp and all the rest, are saying that they're not signing it. They are saying that there are legal uncertainties relating to this. They're also saying that the guidelines go beyond what the EU AI Act entails. And there have also been comments from different executives and different individuals at Meta saying that they don't necessarily like what the EU is doing when it comes to AI, that it's curbing innovation, that it's putting sort of reins on the tech companies, and they are just not having it. They're also saying that 40 other European companies have also expressed concerns around this as well. But I just think we are in the middle of a turbulent time. The tech sector is all eyes, all guns blazing when it comes to AI. And the lack of cooperation or goodwill or will or want to get on
again,
with things.
Again, it's being led by Trump. There's no question.
There's absolutely an aspect of that. And I do think it'll be interesting to see how, like what happens. We were talking earlier this week about the online safety code. We have been talking about Commissioner Nahman investigating and looking into X, the Data Protection Commission, looking at X. It'll be very interesting to see how these American companies with bases here in Ireland, headquarters here in Ireland, react, behave and interact with bodies that are representing not only this country, but also the wider EU then as well.
So, bottom line, they think they're bigger than the EU.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Okay, Jess, some of the questions coming in. I have a Huawei Fitbit watch, downloaded their app. Last Friday, the app told me I did 6,000 steps, even though my watch was at home and my phone was beside me all day in work, where I sat for most of the day. Any ideas what's gone wrong?
I don't know if you have a dog. Maybe the dog put it on when it was going around the house. Sometimes I know that some of the lower end wearables, if, for example, I have it on my right wrist and I blow dry my hair, the movement of me moving the hairdryer can sometimes count as steps. I don't know why it would do that if the two devices were separate. And as you said, the Fitbit was sort of on a bench rather than on the go.
My watch has just told me to stand up.
Would you get up there off your feet? Stretch your legs.
Three hours sitting down here, it tells me it's about time you stood up, and I've done 1,700 steps today.
Oh, well, that's not great now.
No,
Pat.
But by the end of the day, I'll have knocked 12,000 out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't have a face. I wear the Whoop now. I don't have a face on my watch anymore. And I have to say, I do not miss the face given out to me all the time.
Okay, so it must be some little anomaly in the watch. Now, I would like to escape from my smartphone during the day. However, I would need a dumb phone with a basic camera and Bluetooth only. Can Jess recommend any phones that do these basics?
Yeah, so there are quite a few out there. There's a brand called Alcatel that still exists. There's also the Doro phone, the Nokia phones. There's the old school, but the revamped versions of the Nokia 3310 and the Nokia flip phones. Like the point there around the question, I would ask what the point of it is, because the camera on these basic phones are not fantastic. They're not photographs you want to look at again. What I have been doing over the last wee while, at certain times of the day, I can go into my settings, the well-being section on my phone, and I turn off pretty much all of the functionality of my phone. So I put my screen into black and white. I turn off my data, turn off my Wi-Fi. I can just use the Bluetooth for my headphones and I still have the camera and all the rest. But it's less hassle than having two devices and also than having two SIM cards.
Now, speaking of two devices, Eileen's been on. Could you recommend a good device to upload videos and photos from your phone? I presume she wants a more permanent record of the photos, not the cloud, obviously, because you could do it to the cloud, but some device where you can say my photos are in there.
Yeah, so you can get excellent, Seagate is a brand, you can get excellent external hard drives. They've come right down in price. They used to be incredibly expensive. You can get around a terabyte for around €120 now, so they're very affordable. What I would say is you just need to be very, very careful that you don't lose it, that it doesn't break, and that you keep the software compatibility up to date, because I had loads of these when I was younger. And now when I try to plug them into my Windows 11 device, they're not compatible. So if you haven't fully considered it, I would recommend looking again at the cloud.
I'm fairly good on the iPad, etc. But where, as a retired person, can I get knowledge or classes for AI? I'm completely lost on this one. That's from Audrey.
Yeah, it's funny that there's not a whole lot out there at the moment because this is such a new, fast-moving space. YouTube is an excellent resource. You can go to YouTube and you can search for the basics.
But could you not go on Microsoft Pilot, for example, and say, please help me, tell me how to use you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I often do that when I'm testing out new AI platforms. You can go and you can say, what can you do? What can't you do? What I'd recommend is decide, have a look on YouTube first. Look at Copilot, which is Microsoft's. Look at Gemini, which is Google's. And then look at ChatGPT, which is OpenAI. And then have a look at how they look. Watch what people are doing in the YouTube videos. And then, as Pat says, open one out and say, what can you do for me? Start small with things like your shopping list. Ask it to compile. If you feed in the things that you're planning to buy in the shops this weekend, ask it to compile a list of recipes using the ingredients that you've just put in there now. Start small and build up, but be eyes wide open. Never put sensitive information to one of these platforms. And also remember that they can be wrong.
Now, here's an interesting one. I've been sent a prompt to approve Meta sharing my information for ads. Apparently, I've already been doing this, but now if I don't want to do it, it's going to cost $7.99 a month.
Yeah, this is something that we've spoken about quite a bit, and I would say ignore it. If you have a platform on or a profile on Facebook or Instagram, they're already using your data. They're already monetizing it, right? They monetize your existence and all the rest. If you pay the $7.99, yes, you will see fewer ads as you scroll through, but you're still going to see the influencers flogging toothbrushes and all the rest. So I would say ignore it, keep your $7.99 a month and just forget about it.
Can I ask Jess about my Huawei P20? It's old. I need a new one. Can't afford much. What would you recommend?
Oh, do you remember the P20? That was one of the best phones, and it had the Leica lenses on the back. Now, I'm amazed it's still running. That is very impressive. What I would say is look at some of the refurbished websites. So mintplus.ie is great. You can get Samsung and Google. I'm a huge fan of the Google Pixel phone. So if you could get a Pixel 7, again, it's 2 or 3 years old at this stage, but it is still fantastic.
And a final one. I've had scary issues with mysterious charges on Google Pay, and Google support was almost non-existent and incredibly slow. I don't feel safe using it anymore. How can I completely stop using Google Pay? What steps do I need to take? Are there reliable alternatives available in Ireland? It's been surprisingly hard to find.
So what you can do is you can go into your Google settings. So if you open Google, click on your profile in the right-hand corner, go to manage your Google account, go to payment and subscriptions, and then remove all of your payment methods that are saved there. The alternative then is that you put your card details every time that you're making a purchase. What I'd really recommend you do is if you are a Revolut customer, you or in your bank, they might do this as well, use a digital card. It's a virtual card and the number changes every single time. So say, for example, I want to buy a new shirt from a website. I do it with this one-time disposable card. And then the next time I want to buy something from the same website, a different number generates. It's a very safe way to do things and it'll just give you that bit of peace of mind.
Jessica.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.